Literally. How? بالحضور بالعلم. Okay, by that knowledge. Okay? المعين. That is assisted with, that comes by way of assistance on the hands of the angels, الملائكة المقربين. وإمداد الأولياء. And likewise, the spiritual assistance that comes from the أولياء. ومجالسة الصالحين. And sitting with the righteous. What happens when this process takes place? And you're learning and you're doing righteous deeds and the angelic presence is doing its part. The righteous are doing their part. Your heart's attached to the awliya and the salihin. You're doing what it is that you can. Then what happens is, تفتح لعين اليقين بمعنى الدين. Is it then that the eye of the heart then opens to the understanding of the religion. وتمنح that كل النور وعمل من أعمال المتقين. And then that person is granted every light indeed of the pious. And as a result, فَيَحْيَ الْقَلْبِ. The heart will come to life. And then that heart will live in the very, very best of ways. The heart will live in joy and in happiness. And then, as that when the physical body dies, is that heart does not die. Is that rather it remains forever in bliss and delight. And so he's just summarized everything that is that we should be doing. And thus, he's also summarizing the environment in which he grew up. This is how that the window here is into the blessed city of Tarim. And that other blessed cities like it, that existed in the Muslim world and to a certain extent, that still do exist. Is that these meanings are present and this is what they do. And the people that are given tawfiq, this is what you'll find them from the earliest age, is that they spend their time learning. They're in the company of the pious. They are visiting the awliya. And what happens in the unseen? That the angels are doing their part when they see human beings putting in the effort. And then the fruits start to come. Their eye of certainty starts to open up for them. So they start to understand the deen. And they start to have insights into the deen. And doors open up for them to become more and more religious. And it's a huge mistake, a critical mistake, if we think that being religious only means outward practice. That's a part of it, of course. And it's an important part of it. We don't ever want to downplay the important part of the outward, because just as he mentioned here, is that the more that we do outwardly, it supports us inwardly. And the ideal is that we want to do as much as we can outwardly to that bring about as much as support as possible to our iman, which is the most important thing of all. But that when we fall short in doing that things outwardly, it puts us in a position where our faith could be compromised and that our faith could actually even weaken. And then he speaks about this in a very different sense. This first was the heart that is salih. He says, وَإِمَّا غَرْسُهَا فِي الْقَلْبِ الْفَاسِدِ الْخَبِيثِ. If, however, it is planted in a corrupt, filthy heart, وَسَقْيُهَا بِمَاءٍ أُجَاجِ الْمَعَاصِي, and irrigated with the salty water of disobedience, وَالْخَبَائِثِ, and evil, فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَبْقَى مَعْهُ بِحَالٍ. There is no way it will survive. وَتَنْبُتُ فِيهِ مَكَانُهَا فِي الْحَالِ وَتَنْبَتُ فِيهِ مَكَانَهَا فِي الْحَالِ شَجَرَةُ الْخَبَالِ وَالضَّلَالِ الْمُبِينِ. In its place will grow a tree of corruption and misguidance at the hands of the accursed devil. عَلَى يَدِ الشَّيْطَانِ اللَّعِينِ فَيَمُوتُ الدِّينِ وَالْقَلْبِ قَبْلَ مَوْتِ الْجَسَدِ. The person's religion and heart will die before his body dies. وَيَبْقَى فِي ذُرَمَاتِ الْبُعْدِ وَالطَّرْدِ وَالنَّكَدْ أَبَدِ الْآبِدِينَ وَالْأَمْرُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. And that the person's religion heart will die before his body dies. He will remain for eternity in the darkness of remoteness, expulsion, and torment. The affair is in Allah's hands, Lord of the worlds. So what do we take from this? What we take from this is that we should be concerned about our hearts. We should be concerned about our hearts. And again, like, we're so concerned about our physical bodies. If we get sick, we call a doctor. We get worried that if we that start limping, that we go get our knees checked out or whatever else. We're very worried about our physical bodies. We watch our diets. We do all these different things. Think about the amount of time and money we invest into our physical bodies. And we probably invest that 1/100th of amount of that same time into our hearts. When our hearts are that so much more important, you can't even really make a comparison. And it's a sign that we don't understand the deen as it should be understood. When our teachers say these things, like the foundation is the heart, and especially in our time that we need to work on our hearts and the foundation of the discourse is the heart, does that mean so we can all just sit around and like smile and like, you know? No, they're saying this because this is the truth. They're saying this because the realities have been unveiled to them about what it is that we need to do. These are people that are thinking way ahead. They have basira. They have inner sight. Is that they have that things unveiled to them that they know with absolute certainty that are going to happen. Is that they know the poison-like nature of sin and all of these other things, and they've already thought through that in ways that we might not ever consider in our life for even a moment, but they've thought through thoroughly, and it's very clear from them that what someone needs to do to return to Allah safely and to think about the afterlife, and they've thought how that relates to knowledge and the various Islamic sciences that one can learn, how that relates to action and the various righteous deeds that someone can do, how that relates to da'wah methodology and how it is that we approach other people and what we do in relation to other people and the service that we offer to them. So they've thought this through. And they have a minhaj and a methodology that is established, that they've been teaching for over 1,000 years, and that is spread, in this case of this great imam, that all throughout the world. All that remains for us is to put aside our arrogance and put aside our ignorance and to put aside anything that is preventing us from coming to understand. I'm not saying this is the only scholarly methodology. All of the great ulama are like this. But I'm saying is that what's blocking us from coming to this conclusion and to really believing in it and then doing what it is that we can to that establish environments in these lands in which we live where this is the priority of people, the state of their heart before Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. And getting beyond just saying that with our tongue where we know what that means intimately. Because a lot of people, you say that and still to this day, it's just very vague and obscure in their mind. Oh, they're just goofy Sufis or whatever, right? Or, you know, a whole bunch of things will come to the mind, right? And those are mostly with munkirin, and that's not the type of people we were talking about. But even with people that know this, is that it can't be something vague in your mind. You have to know what it means to focus on the heart. And what it means is that as the thoughts come into your heart every day, from the time you wake up until the time you go to sleep, that leads to the various decisions that we make, how we respond to those thoughts. This is what it means. And that exercising our heart at the level of the heart, that we have to know what this means intimately. So then, that when we think about this, is that people that... This heart that he says here, if these meanings, if they're planted in a corrupt, filthy heart and irrigated with the salty water, ujaj, right? The sunnah dua that we make when we drink water, alhamdulillah alladhi ja'alhu adban faratan bi rahmatih, wa lam yaj'alhu milhan ujajan bi dhunubina. All praise to be to Allah who that made it that sweet and that pleasant out of his mercy, water, and did not make it salty, and he did not make it salty and that filthy, that from our sins, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the salty water of disobedience, yeah, but there is no way it will survive. The heart can't live like that. The heart will die. And that the more that we infuse the heart with acts of disobedience, the closer it gets to dying. And it might not happen in one day or 2 days, but if it goes on, this is what happens. And then what grows in place of this other type of tree that he previously said is a very different type of tree, a tree of corruption and misguidance that is really being led at the hands of the accursed devil. So that here is that فَيَمُوتَ الدِّينَ وَالْقَلْبُ قَبْلَ الْمَوْتَ الْجَسَدِ. The person's religion and heart will die before his body dies. And again, how do we take this? Is that we should internalize this by hating that reality in hope that it never happens to us or anyone that we know or any of our loved ones, of our friends or family or anyone else. Because this is the greatest musibah of all. This is the greatest tribulation of all. Is it for your deen and your heart to die before your physical body dies? No. And then that what ends up happening as a result, once the heart dies and someone's religion dies, Ya Latif, he will remain for eternity in the darkness of remoteness, expulsion, and torment. And that this affair ultimately is in the hands of Allah Jalla Jalalu. So he says, فَنُقْطَةُ دَائِرَةِ الْإِسْلَامِ هِيَ النُّطْقُ بِالشَّهَادَتَيْنِ كَمَا ذُكَرُ. So the central point of the sphere of Islam is pronouncing the two testifications of faith as was mentioned. فَلَا تَزَادُ تِلْكَ دَائِرَةُ تَتَّسِعُ بِحَسَبِ التَّفْصِيلِ فِي ذَلِكَ الْإِجْمَالِ وَتَعَاطِ الْمُلْتَزَمْ مِنَ الْأَحْكَامِ وَمُبَاشِرَةِ الْأَعْمَالِ ووضوح المعتقد بصحيح صحيح الفكر واتضاح الاستدلال فيزيد الإسلام والإيمان بذلك بحسب المعنى راجع إلى في ذلك في كل ذلك إلى الشهادتين وما اشتملتا عليه من أمور الدين والاستسلام لله والانقياد له والرجوع إليه علما وعملا في كل حال وحين. I've done practice again. So the central point of the sphere of Islam is pronouncing the two testifications of faith as was mentioned. The sphere continually expands as one plumbs the depths of those compact testifications, performs the works made incumbent by the testifications rulings, and increases in sound belief through clarity of proofs. Thus, one's iman in Islam and iman increase in accordance to the relation of all of that to the testifications of faith and what they comprise of the matters of religion, submission to Allah, and returning to him in knowledge and in deed in every state and in every moment. So he mentioned this, he pointed to this meaning before, and he's given us clarity on this matter again. Now, so it starts with the shahadatain, and then we that expand from that when we but put what is that understood that needs to be put into practice from the shahadatain, and then eventually is that by that turning to Allah and submitting to him, is that it will that open up the doors for us to benefit in every single moment from every single that piece of knowledge that we have, every single deed that it is that we do. فَكُلُّ مَنْ لَمْ يَجَدْ لِعَمْلِ يَصَالَهَ زِيَادَةٍ فِي دِينِهِ وَقُوَّةٍ فِي يَقِينِهِ فَلْيَعْلَمْ أَنَّ ذَلِكَ أَنَّمَهُ لِنَقْصِ عَمَلَهِ وَقِلَّةِ اجْتِهَادَهِ. Someone who performs a good deed without experiencing an increase in his religion or in certainty should know that this is due to a deficiency in his deed, his lack of effort, or lack of sincerity and lack of truthfulness in his intention. And then he's going to go into a lot of detail there, which is better that we stop here and come back to, because it's going to all be connected. And so what he's saying is that the reality is that if we believe as we're supposed to believe and we practice as we're supposed to practice, all of this which begins with the shahadatain, and our hearts are salih, is that we are in a good state such that when we that do what it is that we're supposed to do in our deen, that it leads to the results that are desired from it, is that it will lead to every good. But and we'll feel that, we'll notice that, it will have an impact upon us. But if we find that when we do that righteous deeds, that we don't feel that it's increasing us in our religion, and it's not strengthening our certainty, is that something's wrong? And then we got to look, we got to see what's happening. Just as everything has a sign. Is that there's certain something you hear in your car that doesn't sound right? It's a sign that something's wrong. Right? There's that lights that flash in our car when we're getting low on oil. Is that there's signs that indicate different things. And that if we find in ourselves when we're doing certain things that we're not benefiting the way that we should. It's not impacting us like it should. It's not strengthening our certainty like it should. Something's wrong. This is when we have to go search and figure out what it actually is. And just as that if it relates to a physical illness, is that someone will go to a doctor. And that then they might end up at a specialist, depending upon what part of the body it is or whatever. And likewise, is that there are specialists of this science that can help us navigate that the matters of our deen. And in particular, the inward dimension of it. So the first thing that he says here is that due to some type of deficiency, there's something that it must have happened. There's some type of deficiency. Or it could be that related to a lack of our, that ijtihad, lack of effort that we're putting in. Or it could be that maybe there's something wrong with our sincerity at the level of intention or something like that. And then he's going to list a long list of other things. Inshallah, we will come back to them. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us clarity in these matters and to give us understanding of this religion. And may the reading of this book be a means for the fath of our basair, ya arhamar rahimin. And a means for us to have tahqiq of iman and of Islam, ya arhamar rahimin. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open the doors of all goodness to us, ya arhamar rahimin, to completely purify our hearts and to make them sadiha, to be able to receive anwar and to be able to receive rahmat, ya rabbal alameen, especially in this blessed month. May Allah ta'ala bless us to be a month of mercy and a month of forgiveness and a month of immense benefit for all of us and our families and our loved ones and for the ummah of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sallam wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.